Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So it kind of defeats the purpose of faith, because you're there, you want the faith to happen, but it's like you're looking forward instead of looking back. It was done. So if it's done, it's mine, right? So to esteem the word properly, we need to understand how we speak these things out, because your words are more important than you realize. So many times we say things that are so flippant. And I know I've done it myself. There's times I've said things out of the scripture and I've had to say, well, that's the Rick paraphrase. And, you know, it was kind of what the word said. It was probably the gist of the word. But was I telling them the word? And that's what's important. The word is what is important. Let's go to Isaiah 55:11. And so Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. And I will prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Now, something I don't know that we realize, I think sometimes we forget, but when we speak the word of God, do you understand what you're speaking? You're speaking something that's full of power. You're speaking something that isn't void. It's not going to go out there and just drop. It's going to bring something back to you. But too often we don't esteem that. And we put the situation up and over the word. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. So in Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, one of the things that I think is important when we sit down and we talk about these two scriptures, there are things that we as humans use that really affect things. And those words are like if, but, try, and can't. And let's think about some. So let's use the word if. Now there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles 17 that says, "If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face," right? He says he will heal their land, right? Too often, we're in this point of like, well, if God, if you'll heal my land, I'll humble myself and I'll seek your face, but not until then. And you can see the difference is one is saying things in faith and one is saying things in, well, as soon as I see it, I'll believe it. Now, my dad was great about that. He said, I was talking to him one time about faith, and he says, "Yeah, I'll have faith when it's right there." And it is true that we are like that. A lot of us are like that. We need to have it in our hand before we're going to believe for it. But if you have it in your hand, what are you believing for? You're not believing for anything. So there's another word that bothers me a lot, and it's like but. Now, Lord gave me something a long time ago, and I think a lot of people have stolen it from me. But the word is, where do you put your but? And one of the things that the Lord gave me is you always put the promise on the right side of your butt. And it's always kind of funny because people think of it in a double way, but to think of something of that by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. So let's go, you know, 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes I have been healed. Now if I say that and then I go, but, what did I just do? But I'm still hurting. I'm still sick. I don't feel right. What did I just do? See, but is contrary to the first part of the sentence. I've already set myself up. I've said, okay, this is what I believe, but maybe I don't. So if you put the promise on the right side of your butt, you say, you know, I'm not feeling good. I'm still struggling with whatever it is, but by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. I'm leaving with that positive. I'm leaving with that. So I'm going contrary to what I feel. And that's important, because too often when we had that button, we put our problem on the other side of it, then that's what we dwell on. That's what we walk away from. The other word is try. Have you ever thought about what it means to try something? You know, so the Word of God says, you know, if you will, let's go to, you know, Second Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people. Well, I tried that. I tried humbling myself. Did you really? Or did you just mumble some words and go on about your business? Do you believe? You know, in Psalms 105, if we go to Psalm 105, verse 19, the Lord brought this up to me today that I thought was really interesting. I was surprised by this. Psalm 105:19, and this word's been sticking with me a lot lately. It says, Psalm 105:19 says, until the time that his word came. And this is Joseph. So Joseph has been in prison. He's been accused by Potiphar's wife. He's been sold into slavery by his brothers. And he's in this place. And it says, until the time that his word came. Now his word, there's two words there that are in the Hebrew. One is a decree. Joseph made a decree. Guess what, guys? I had this vision. And all these stars bowed down to me. I had this vision that the sheaves were going to bow down to me. And his brothers were like, oh yeah? But he decreed something. He spoke something that God gave him through that vision. He spoke it out. Now, if you think about it, what would happen if he hadn't spoken it out? Chances are they would have starved. Because what happened by him speaking out that vision put him in a place of power in Egypt. And he ruled second to Pharaoh. But the second word, it says, the word of the Lord tried him. See, the Lord's the only one who's got the right to try anything. And he tries us with his word. Now, that word is a command. So God put forth a command. If my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'm telling you something, then will I hear from heaven. He's making forth a command. Do we respond to that command? Now see, Joseph responded to the command. Joseph looked at it, and he was in that place. And you know, the words that we have in there, he never criticized God. But he always put himself in a place to be promoted. He was promoted in Potiphar's house. He was thrown in prison. He was promoted in prison. He was always looking forward. He had that chance to give those dream, the interpretation to those dreams. And in that interpretation, it took time, but he was promoted. Next thing you know, he's sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh. So he made a decree. And one of the things that is important for us, if we're going to make a decree, if the word is going to be important, if we're going to esteem it, we need to know what it says, why it says it, and then we need to speak it. You know, it's one thing to make a decree that I'm going to go over there. But the decree of the Lord said, I'm going to go over there. Now you think about the disciples in the boat. Jesus said, we're going over there. Disciples said, okay. Disciples said, yeah, let's go. But in the middle, they got tossed by the waves and the wind, and they got scared. Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. He knows where we're going. We're going to the other side. The interesting thing is Jesus decreed a thing. When they got out there in the middle of the storm, they decreed another thing. Yeah. Oh, Lord, don't you care that we die? And these are things that are so important. We understand, because the devil, one of the things that we've been hearing about from Pastor Sean is the devil and how he works on double-mindedness. And words are how we get messed up with double-mindedness. If you look back to Adam and Eve, now I don't know, because it doesn't really say, but Adam was told by God, you don't eat that tree. After that, Eve shows up on the scene. My assumption is Adam told Eve, we don't eat of that tree. Now, as most wives will tell you, husbands don't really clearly explain things like they probably should. But he said, probably to his wife, we don't eat it, we don't touch it. Because what did Eve tell the devil? We're not even supposed to touch it lest we die. And so then the devil comes and says, well, hath not God said? And surely, you'll just be like gods. Oh, that's awesome. So she goes up and she eats it and says, Adam is there with her. Nothing happened to that point. Now, Pastor Sean brought that up a while back. Nothing happened to that point. But then Adam, seeing that she didn't drop over dead, decided he'd take a bite. And instantly their eyes were open. And instantly became the blame game. The devil, that woman you gave me. All these things started to happen. We started using words to hurt instead of to heal. And it happened too fast. And from that point forward, that's all we've had. Words have started wars. Words have broken up marriages. Words have put children asunder from their parents. And those same words should never have been spoken. But the word that God brings to us is life and healing and wholeness and help. It is help for us today. So there's a word about can't. I really dislike the word can't. Understand, you're saying that I cannot do something. You're saying that the power of God is not available for me to do something when you say I can't. If you look at James 1:22. In James 1:22, he says, but be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Sometimes we deceive ourselves just by hearing, because that's good enough, right? I don't really have to go out and minister to people, do I? I mean, I heard I should. That's probably good enough. But we're to be doers. So I was looking that up, and a doer, and this shouldn't be any surprise, but it's a performer. A doer is a performer. What does a performer do? He performs. He's out there in the public, doing things for people that have a need. Now, the interesting thing is, the word, being a doer of the word, that word logos, it's the same word used for Christ in John 1:1-4. Okay, what that is in the Greek is the divine reason. Now, this is from the Greek, the people who really had all sorts of gods and all this kind of stuff. But their word logos is the divine reason implicit in the cosmos, ordering it and giving it form and meaning. That's how they describe Christ. Now, one of the things about esteeming the word, when you think about that, do you realize that the word was born for us? The word suffered for us. Do you know the word was stripped and whipped? The word was nailed to a cross for us. And too often we think, well, Jesus did all that. Yeah, he did, but he's the word. It's so important we esteem that. What the word, what happened to the word? He went to hell for us. The word went to hell, and God pulled the word out of hell and seated the word at his right hand, his son. And you know what? You're seated in the word in heavenly places. So we need to esteem the word wisely. I mean, when we're saying things to people out of the Bible, we need to know what we're saying. It's important to study this thing, to have this word deep in your heart. Because too often, if we flip things off, we just pop things off, we don't say things right, or we take them out of context, we haven't really accomplished anything. We haven't esteemed the word. We've just kind of thrown it out there and hope it's stuck on something. You know, I mean, how many of us have always done that? We just tell you, just hope it sticks. Yeah. And it's not supposed to stick. It's supposed to go in. And so the power of God in his word is what goes in. And that's what's important. So if we have the word going forth, if you think about this, you know, in Isaiah 55:11, where it talks about his word goes forth and doesn't return void. When we speak the word, if we speak the word, the divine reason for the implicit in the cosmos, ordering it, giving it form and meaning, if we're speaking that out of our mouth, what can stand against that? What can stand against that? Nothing. But you have to be convinced. You have to be convinced that this thing is true. This word, this holy scripture is true. Every part of it. When you pull down things for healing, you can't doubt it. It's got to be in here. When you're ministering to somebody, I know it. There's times when you feel like you're ministering to somebody, it's like it just falls flat on the floor, but the power does not. That person may not be receiving it yet, but the word is alive, and it's powerful. And we need to esteem that word and believe in power that when I speak to this person, if I've got a person here that I'm laying hands on, I'm doing things according to the word, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Don't ever let it come into your vocabulary that they might recover. Now, people will tell you, says, well, how can you say that? They might die. They might. But I have to stand on what the word says, and if my faith goes in with the power of the word and their faith grabs hold of it, mighty things can be done. I know one person said one time, well, what if you died believing God for healing? What better way to die? You know, I'd rather die believing than die doubting. You know. But the words that we put forth, too often we do say things that, well, there's a whole line of things that if it be God's will. So do we understand if it be God's will? We have the talk about the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. If it be his will, these things are going to happen. Now, nobody's denying that God is sovereign. But in Genesis, he made us sovereign. And see, people, this is where people miss things in the word. This is why it's important to understand these things. He said he gave us dominion. So when we stand on this planet, we stand on this planet with dominion, with power, with authority. And then when you talk about the word of God goes forth in power and does not return void, and you're speaking that in power, there's faith there. You got to grab hold of that and you got to push that through. Jesus came, and he came as the word in flesh so we could touch him. You know, I noticed reading the Gospels, Jesus is walking along. The woman with the issue of blood, what is she doing? She's saying to herself, now she doesn't have the Holy Ghost, she doesn't have the scriptures, but she's going along and says, you know, if I but touch the hem of his garment. Now what did Jesus say afterwards? Now, I know we've heard this over and over again, but the truth of the matter is, what did he say afterwards? Daughter, your faith has made you whole. If I believe, if I touch. We've got to have that desire to touch. People that sat on the sides of the street, Jesus, Jesus, shh, don't bother him. All the louder, Jesus. What do you want? You ever notice that Jesus asked questions? He wanted to know what they want. What would you have? And they told him. And he says, according to your faith. I mean, there were times where he did things like he made mud, just put it on their eyes. There were times when he stuck his fingers in their ears. But he said he did what he saw his father do. So, you know, he was listening to the father, and then he did those things as he saw the father do. And so he went forth that way. But he's always asking questions. When people asked, came to me and says, "Jesus, what do you want?" You know, when the centurion came down, and he says, "You don't have to come to my house." Now think about this. He esteemed the Word so highly. That man, the Word, the living Word, he esteemed him so highly. He says, "No, don't come to my house. Just say the word." He knew. Because I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. If I tell somebody to do something, they do it. So if you tell my servant that he's healed from this place, he's going to be healed. I know he's healed. And so he went on his way, and what's the end of the story? His servants came, and they says, "Hey, the servant that you loved, he's all better." Well, when did that happen? Well, about a half hour ago, whatever it was, the same time he was talking to Jesus. And what did Jesus say at the end of that thing? He says, "Wow." I don't know that you can really surprise Jesus, but I think you can. You know, because what did he says, "Wow, never in all of Israel have I seen such faith," that he would esteem the word that highly. Now let's look at the other side of it. He goes to Bethlehem. He goes to his hometown. "Hey, everybody, what would you have me do? Well, isn't that the carpenter's son? And don't we have his brothers and sisters living here with us?" And what does it say? He could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. They did not esteem the word. And so in not esteeming the word, he says all they could do is heal a few sick folk. I always like the one where he's sitting in the building talking to the Pharisees. And the word says the power of God was present to heal them all. And guess who got healed? Somebody who they tore the roof over and dropped him down in there. I'm sorry, I was in a rescue squad. I never say dropped. Lowered him. Gently. But they lowered him down there. And what did Jesus? He looked up. He didn't see a word. What he saw was somebody esteeming the word. And he looked up and he saw their faith. Did you ever notice he never looked at this guy and saw his faith? He saw their faith. And he looked at this guy. "Take up your pallet and walk. Your sins are forgiven." But the interesting thing is the power of God was present there to heal them all. And because others did not esteem the word, the power of life that was in their midst, they walked away with whatever ailments and diseases and whatever they had. They walked away with that. So many of the stories of Jesus have to do with whether people esteemed him or not. If you look at Pilate, when they were going to crucify, he was finding every way he could to let Jesus go. I don't see anything wrong with him. You people have not proven that he's done anything wrong. We don't esteem the word, crucify him. And the sad to say that too often in our lives we do the same thing today. We don't want to esteem the word. We want to find some other way, some other excuse, some other word, some other thing. You know, years ago, the Lord gave me a word, and it was, you know, the facts will kill you, but the word will set you free. And that's the truth. If somebody comes up to you and they say, "Hey, you know, you got cancer," and this is real to us right now. Somebody comes up and says, "You got cancer." Well, if you just sit on that, it's going to kill you. But the word, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in me and quickens my mortal body. By his stripes I have been healed. It's a done thing. I do not fear. We have to have that kind of a fight. We have to have that kind of esteem of the word. We have to put that forth. Because every day you're going to have facts come at you. Your bank account is going to have a fact you don't like to see. The doctor might give you a fact. An employee might give you a fact. A parishioner might give you a fact. But these facts come, and they come with their opinions or what they've heard or what they've seen. They don't come from the truth. So what are you going to do? You know, there's this gal that we listened to one time in this marriage seminar. One of the things she said, whenever she came to a point like that, she says, "So what are you going to do about it?" And that's the thing we have to decide in our hearts, in our minds. What are we going to do about it? In this world, in this life we have, as short as it is, I mean, he calls it a vapor. He says it's like grass that withers when the sun hits it. It's a short time. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to esteem the word highly? You know, the Isaiah 55:11 and then Mark 11:23 and 24. One of the things when he says in 55:11 about how his word goes forth, in Mark 11:23 and 24, which is the scripture used by that Brother Hagin got a hold of to get out of the bed of sickness. There's an interesting thing about 11:23 and 24, and sometimes, you know, I'm trying to think of who I saw or who I read about. He says, don't ever charge at the devil with your mouth closed. Don't ever do that. But Mark 11:23 and 24, many of you have heard this. This is a foundational scripture for us. In 22, he says, have faith in God. He says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he said, they shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, you understand something there. He had to say it. He didn't say think it. He didn't say meditate on it. He didn't say ponder it. He said say it. Therefore, I say unto you, whatso things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. One of the things about saying something, I found this in my own life. If I say I'm going to do something, doesn't that put some accountability on me? It should. Now, don't ask my wife about chores. But I mean, shouldn't that put accountability on me if I say I'm going to do something? So if Jesus, in his word, if you say and you believe and don't doubt in your heart. You see how he puts two things there? Believe and don't doubt. If you believe and don't doubt, you'll have whatsoever you say. We've got to grab hold of that. It's got to come out of our mouth. And what does he say about the abundance of the heart? That's what comes out of your mouth, right? So what's coming out of your mouth lately? And that's one of the things I have to check my own self. What's coming out of my mouth lately? Regardless of what the situation is, I don't care if it's just meeting a friend. Am I speaking life and truth into him? Am I taking the word to him? Am I esteeming the word that I put that above my opinion? I know Pastor Shauna says that belly button's only good for gathering lint, but the kind of thing I heard is belly buttons are like opinions. Everybody's got one, but what are they good for? I mean, that's the truth. What's your opinion good for? Well, I have a right to have my opinion. After all, I'm an American. I can say what I want to say. True. You can. Freedom of speech. It's one of the foundations of our country. But just because you have the freedom to speak something doesn't mean you necessarily need to open your mouth. And sometimes silence is better than... But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to open your mouth, haven't you just made yourself accountable? So are you accountable to the word? Are you esteeming it highly? Or are you just passing by? These are the things that I kind of struggle with when I see, you know, I talk about being a grammar Nazi, and I see things that people post, and you just hurt for them. Because they take things out of context. They put ifs, buts, maybes. You know, we've all heard these songs. I was telling Pastor Sean here a while ago, I really don't like to listen to Christian radio because there's so much doubt and unbelief in the music. So I listen to jazz. There's no words. It's just music, mostly. So I can put whatever words I want to it. But so I listen to jazz, and because I don't always have this thing when you're sitting there and you're listening to something, and somebody says, "Well, the Lord must think I'm strong to give me what He's put me through." Where in the Scripture does it say that? And yet people are buying those records by the droves. Oh God, You're in control, so whatever happens, thank You, I guess. We need to be careful what we hear. And that's a sad thing, that you almost have to listen to the music and say, "Well, no, just a minute, I don't listen. I don't." What was it you said that you preach into your kids when you hear something in the song? That's not right. That's not the truth. But we need to be careful of these things. And we need to be kind of a little grammar Nazis on ourselves. We do. We need to know where we're putting the promises of God. We need to know what the promises of God are. We need to know how they apply to our lives. When it says to build yourself up in your most holy faith, what does that mean? How do you build yourself up? If you think about a sports team, how do you build yourselves up? Everybody gets around the huddle, they start jumping up and down, and they're getting ready for the game, and we're building ourselves up because we're going to get out there. You know, I wrestled in high school. You sit there and you look at that other guy and you just kind of stare at him for a while. You're just trying to get that, you know. But you're building yourself up. We build ourselves up in our faith by this. This word, we bring it into stuff. You know what the word meditate means? It means to mutter. A lot of people have an idea about Eastern meditation, like you sit there and go, "Om." No. You mutter. It doesn't mean you're speaking loudly like I am right now, but you're, "Oh Lord, I give You praise and glory for Your word says." And you start muttering on that. It's meditation. It's pondering. You know, often I'll hear things that, you know, Pastor Sean or Pastor Mike will say, and I'll ponder them. I'll meditate on them. Those things will come through, and I'll talk them out because I want the truth of what they said to come into me. Do you understand right now, Pastor Sean and I were talking about this the other day, do you understand right now that if you're not drawing from me, if you're not pulling from the anointing, there's nothing there. I can't speak if you're not pulling. And you can't receive if you're not pulling. You have to build yourself. I have to build myself up for this. You have to build. You understand, you have to build yourself up to hear. I don't know if people understand that. I think sometimes they come to church and say, "Well, whatever the pastor's going to say, that'll be good. And we'll sing some songs and go about our way." But you have to build yourself up to hear. When you come to church, one of the things you have to come for, you have to come to hear, to pull, to receive. Those words are important. Are you receiving what's being said from the pulpit? Is the truth coming forth? Are you grabbing the truth and are you taking the truth into your heart? That's so important. This church has a vision. It's called Life in Christ. Under that vision, we've got a mission statement. I'm sorry, I don't have it memorized. But there's a mission statement of things that we believe that bring people to life in Christ. And see, under that mission statement should be goals. How do we know we're reaching people and bringing life to people, the life of Christ into people? We need to have those same visions for ourselves, that word comes forth, that we support their vision. The Lord years ago gave Lou Ann and I a vision of our ministry to exhort and encourage the body of Christ to excellence. Now see, I can bring my vision under their vision, because their vision of life in Christ I can bring my vision under that to exhort and encourage people in their life in Christ. We need to have those things. We need to be speaking those things out. There was a time there I kind of let it pass. I let it pass that God had called me to do that. I didn't say it to myself. I didn't say it to others. And I could see in my own life how it was affecting the way I was reaching people or ministering to people. I had to come to that place where I had to start speaking that vision again. I had to encourage myself in what it meant to esteem this word and encourage myself and exhort myself so that I could encourage others and exhort others to excellence. Do you know that you're supposed to be excellent? I mean, too often we don't think about that. We kind of, what is excellence? I don't know what excellence is in your life, but I know it's the best God has for you in your particular area, whatever you're doing. Whether you're ministering the gospel, hanging drywall, remodeling houses, selling things, you have that power in you. That excellence is yours. You know, I always feel, this is something I feel, every Christian that's in any business, whether they're an employer or an employee, should be the most excellent employer or employee they can be. That people look and they say, you know, the things that comes out of this person's mouth, they do. They do. Do you know that you can't esteem the word any higher than not being a liar? And people, we mean liar, I don't lie. Well, how many times have you said, well, I believe this, but you don't do it? You know, my mom was reading the parables today, and one of the parables was talking about the two sons. Okay, dad says, hey, you go out there and trim some trees. No. Okay, well, hey, you son, you go out there and trim some trees. Okay, I'll go do it. The one that said no went and did it. And the parable was that he was the better son because whether he said he wasn't going to do it, he at least went out there and did it. But in a sense, he lied. The other one lied too. He said he was going to do it and he didn't do it. Now, yeah, he was better for going and doing it, and that was, but why say no and then go and do it? And why say yes and then don't? The parables of Jesus speak to excellence. They always speak to excellence. So one of the things about Psalm 105:19, when he talks about a word, the decree that Joseph put out and the command that the Lord put out, he said that the word tried him. You know, when you look at Judges, and I think it's chapter 6 when it talks about Gideon, the angel can now... I don't understand this, but maybe I do. This angel stands before you and says, oh, mighty man of valor. Who? He knows he's alone, but who are you talking to? I'm just, I'm of the poorest tribe of Israel, and I'm of the weakest of the poorest tribe of Israel. He was starting to talk against himself. He says, oh, mighty man of valor, God has called you to do something. And Pastor Sean was talking about Gideon and in our prayer time, he's talking about the men that he called up. But he was talking to Gideon right there. And at that point, he's telling Gideon, God's called you to do something. You're going to go and you're going to slaughter the Midianites. Yeah, right. No, you are. Well, if this is truly God, then we'll do the fleece thing. So he's got like 4 or 5 verses there. He talks about this fleece that he lays out. And God answers in that time about a fleece. But what was Gideon doing? He was trying God. And he was putting, is your word really true? And he was trying it. And God said, for this I'll do it. No, I'll make the fleece wet or I'll make it dry and everything else wet, whatever needs to be done, I'll do it for you. And he did. And then Gideon says, okay, I guess... I guess I just talked myself into a fight. But God honoring his word, And then Gideon honored his word. I'll do it. And then as Pastor Sean was talking, and we read the story of Gideon, that these men were tried. He says, okay, you guys that are fearful, leave. And a bunch left. Now we're going to go down to the brook, and we're going to drink some water. I want to see how you drink water. Do you drink water ready for battle, or do you drink water like a dog, like you're just in a place where you're totally safe and nothing's ever going to bother you? Okay, you guys can leave. Now you can imagine Gideon saw all these mighty miracles, and at this point he's going like, 300? You got to be kidding me. And the 300 probably looking at each other like, well, this is going to be fun. But they grabbed hold. They esteemed the word that God said to them. And they went forth and they fought, and they had a marvelous victory. Because God, as they went through there, the destroyer came through and turned their weapons against themselves. And basically, Gideon and his army really didn't have to do anything except break some lamps and scream the low horns. You know, we sometimes want to find this place where we can be comfortable and relaxed and not have these things happen. But, you know, God didn't call us to that. He has not called us to just lay back and hope things are going to happen. Your words are going to bring action into your life. Your words are going to bring power into your life. Your words are going to bring victory into your life. Your words have to come from here. Your words are either going to put you over or they're going to let you down. So what words are you speaking today? What words are you going to speak after this? Are we going to take this scripture and are we going to esteem it highly into our heart, out of our mouth? Are we going to be the ones that when a problem pops up, instead of saying, oh me and oh my, we're going to say, you know, the Lord says, my God says, the word says. Well, you're a little crazy, aren't you? Yep. Now, I'm just crazy enough to do that once in a while. But God stands on his promises. And he says, as Kenneth E. Hagin said, everything that's in the past tense is God's will for you. So if he says, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed, then I've been healed. I may be going through something right now, but I am healed. I have been. And I'm going to claim that. Well, you look pretty bad. That's fine. I don't go by how I look. I go by what the word says. Well, yeah, the doctor said. I don't care. The word of God says. Now, if I have to take some medicine, I'll take some medicine. But I'm not relying on the medicine. I'm relying on God's word to work through the medicine, to complement the medicine, or even in the case, you know, like chemotherapy. I rebuke the side effects, but that it does what it's supposed to do, and it kills those cells it's supposed to kill. But I rebuke the side effects. They have no place. They have no right. Because that's what the Word of God says. And I'm going to stand on that. And I'm going to believe that. I'm going to hold forth to that. We need to be in that mindset. There can't be any question. You understand that? There can't be any question. If you question, you've lost. It's one of the things I found out in sports. If you question your training, your ability, the plays the coach set you, the moves you worked on as you wrestled, if you question, you might as well just lay down and get pinned, because you're going to second guess yourself every time. We can't do that. We can only rely on this. This has to be first and foremost in our lives. This can't be any other thing. Jesus never let, he says that he went and got before the Father, saw what the Father did, what the Father said, and saw what the Father did, and he went forth and did that. We have the testaments in here. This is all the power we need. The Holy Spirit within us revealing the word to us. And in that is the power to change things. But we got to believe it. And we got to speak it. And then we got to perform it. Anybody here performers? Yeah. Got to be performers. Got to be doers. There's too many people sitting on the sidelines. They're sitting on the sidelines. You know, the Lord showed me one day when he was talking about the four types of soil. He says the four types of soil are in the church too. Because there's a lot of people that are born again, they're going to go to heaven. But those three types of soil, there's some of them that you just really didn't sit in. There's some that got all excited. This is really great. But, yeah. And there's some that let the cares of the world come in and rob it from them. Yeah, they're going to heaven, but they're going to heaven not in victory. But there's the fourth soil. And that's the soil we need to be. When that word comes in, we've got to give it a place to grow. You've got to give it a place to grow. You can't not give it a place to grow. It's got to come out of you. And then when it comes up 100-fold, you know, 40, 60, 100-fold, what is that? That is the word coming out of you into the lives of others and into your own life. My life, I have to speak into my life. I have to speak into my wife's life. I have to speak into my kids' life. I got to speak into the life of this church. I mean, body, we need to speak into the life of this church. We need to speak into the life of our pastors. We need to speak into the life of our ministries. We need to look at those things like Pastor Larry said when he was here last time about how things were going to happen. We need to be speaking those things and looking for it in the Word. Where is it in the Word? You know, when you look at Jesus, when he was walking along and those people were jostling and that woman went up to touch the hem of his garment, had he done anything to that point? I mean, the water to wine is the last thing we really heard. But he's walking along, people are jostling, trying to get close to him. Excuse me. He hadn't done anything to that point. But people wanted a part of him. Are we jostling to get closer to Jesus, to speak that word, to touch that word, to get a hold of it, to bring it in close? Are we like the woman, I just got to touch him. I got to get a hold of that word because I know the power is there. The love is there. The hope is there. The joy is there. The peace is there. It's there. Praise God. So, in closing, we're closing a little early because normally my messages go 20 minutes. So I stretched myself. But in closing, basically what it gets back to what that pastor told us that time. What you going to do about it? The word is here. You understand it. You know it. You know you're supposed to be getting out there and digging in. We're not meant to be sitting around by the sidelines. We're not set to be moved by every wind and wave that rolls along. We're set to stand firm. We're set to build on a firm foundation. We're supposed to build on that foundation. We're supposed to build on that foundation, build on that foundation, and we're supposed to build with gold and silver and precious gems. And that is the works and the words that come out of your mouth. The hay and the stubble is all the other stuff. Look, when I get up there, I don't want to see a big pile of ashes back there. You know, there probably will be but no, let's not talk about that. But I want to see something substantial. And I know God wants to see something substantial. So let's give him something substantial. Let's let that be our goal. We esteem the word and we give him something substantial. Father, we give you thanks for your word today. We give you praise and glory and honor, Father God, for you have set forth your word. And we do esteem your word, Father God. We thank you for your son, Jesus, the Word, who suffered and died for us. And when you raised him again and set him at your right hand, Father, we give you praise. And Father, we're so thankful that we sit in there with him at your right hand in glory. We give you praise for that, Father God. We thank you. We thank you so much. And we thank you for loving us so much. We do give you praise and honor, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for this evening. In glory, praise, and honor we give unto you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.